Well, in the tradition of this conference, good afternoon. We're starting a new tradition here in the world. Okay, very briefly, time is short. I'm Richard Schwartz, President of Jewish Vegetarians of North America and also Society of Ethical and Religious Vegetarians. And I've got a few books here just to give a little background. Judaism and Vegetarianism and Judaism and Global Survival, which also has a chapter, you know, for global survival, we need vegetarianism, so it has one chapter on that. And most recently, we've made this documentary. I hope you've all received a copy. If not, get one on the way out. This is one that summarizes our case very strongly, and it's so important. We're giving out complimentary copies. Also, you can see the entire video, order copies at the title here, asacredduty.com. And again, we're doing this because of one fundamental principle, which I think is the most important consideration in abolishing factory farming and working within this movement, and that is the very unfortunate fact that the world is approaching very rapidly an unprecedented catastrophe. And this has to be one of the bottom lines in our actions. And if you don't believe it, consider the unprecedented wildfires in California, the flooding out in Iowa. Somebody's called this a century of drought. Australia's had a drought for 6 years. I do a lot of work in the Jewish community, so I point out the drought in Israel now is the most severe they've had in their entire history. So it is essential that we abolish factory farming because an amazing thing. Think of all the traffic jams you've been in, all the waiting at airports, and yet, according to this 2006 UN Food and Agricultural Organization report, not from PETA, not from Humane Society, the UN, animal-based agriculture emits more greenhouse gases in CO2 equivalents than all of these means of transportation worldwide combined. And making it far, far worse is, as I think has been alluded to, within 50 years, this is going to double. It's 18% already compared to 13.5% for all the transportation. If it doubles, it's going to negate the effects from all the many other positive changes. You can change all your light bulbs, absolutely get more fuel-efficient cars, recycle. Unless we make this change, this is essential that there's a shift toward plant-based diets very rapidly because, for example, James Hansen of NASA is indicating that within a few years we could reach a tipping point, global warming can spiral out of control. People may tell you it's 100 years from now, it's our children, our grandchildren, it's happening right now, and all of what's been happening now is due to an increase of about 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. And the major group, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, composed of the world's leading climate scientists, indicates or projects an increase of 3 to 11 degrees Fahrenheit, which means total devastation. I don't know, we've had very severe storms in the Northeast. I don't know about in the Washington area, but in New York, we've had them. So we need a change. Therefore, I have here 10 steps to, we'll have to do it very rapidly, less than a minute per step, 10 steps to a vegetarian conscious world. Because unless we do it, what kind of world are we going to hand over to our children, our grandchildren, future generations? Okay, step one, we should set a goal and a timetable, something like a vegetarian conscious world by the year 2012, say, or 2015. Because we don't have the time to say, well, 20, 30, 50 years from now, it's got to start happening right away. And I use the expression a vegetarian conscious world because, thank God, we have freedom of choice, but at least people should be aware of the issues. How bad animal-based diets are in terms of global warming, the biggest threat to humanity today. That's one. Second, we should point out that this kind of change is not only beneficial to animals, as important as it is. We know that's essential. It's important for all of humanity. People say, well, all the problems in the world, I just can't worry about animals, but we know that this affects everything. That, for example, we're feeding 70% of the grain produced in the U.S. to animals, while an estimated 20 million people are dying of hunger and its effects. We mentioned this could be called a century of drought. 14 times as much water for an animal-based diet than a plant-based diet. Okay, third, we should point out that a switch to vegetarianism, as important as it is not only an individual choice, it's a societal imperative, it's a global planetary imperative. Either we do that or the world as we know it today will not exist in a very few years. So societal imperative doesn't mean every person has to be. Ideally, every person should be vegetarian, but at least it should be a major change, and our leaders should be pointing this out, and not having cheeseburgers and all that presidential candidates seem to have. In addition, we just had a panel right in this room an hour or two ago, it's a religious imperative as well, because animal-based diets violate at least six religious mandates. I come at it from a Jewish perspective, but easily adapted to others. And these are six fundamental mandates, all steeped in biblical values and values of other religions, to treat animals with compassion, to take care of our health, be co-workers with God and preserve the environment, conserve natural resources, and help hungry people, and seek and pursue peace. And most people see most connections. They don't always see the connection with peace. So therefore, I posit that the slogan of the peace and vegetarian movements should be really one and the same. And what is that common slogan? All we're saying is give peas a chance. So we have it. But it should be, there's madness and sheer insanity out there. We have to respond with, in effect, the moral madness of the biblical prophets. Speak truth to power. Go to every minister, priest, rabbi, and say, what's going on out there? Why are we not applying these religious values? What good are they if we're living in a world that's heading toward disaster and we stress the ritual and don't realize that we've got to apply these values? Well, we've got to tie to current issues. And related to that is a letter-writing campaign. Every time we have that flood in Iowa, we should have letters to the newspapers pointing out the vegetarian connection, that more animal consumption, more animal-based agriculture, more global warming, and that's going to mean more severe storms, more droughts, more wildfires like we have in California, for example. And radio programs, we've got to just use every way we can. Okay, and in addition, it's a wonderful, wonderful animal rights conference. I think we have to continue all the many issues, work against all the ways animals are abused, but make it a priority to reduce factory farming, because it's well known 95% or more of the animal abuse occurs on factory farms. Okay, just got a few more here. So it should be a priority. It doesn't mean stop doing what you're doing if you're working on other issues, but make this a priority because everything else becomes negligible unless we solve this problem. Hey, we've got to challenge the medical establishment, for example, because right now we can prevent so many diseases. Medical practice is generally malpractice unless they point out that we can reduce so many diseases and reverse them in many cases, as Dr. Dean Ornish and others have shown. We've got to form alliances with other groups, environmental groups. As many have pointed out, you can't be an environmentalist unless you're a vegan. As Howard Lyman says, it's like a philanthropist who does not give money. Okay, that's his name. And we've got to just challenge the media, we've got to challenge politicians, educators. It's got to become the number one issue. The world is heading, unfortunately, to an unprecedented catastrophe. You can see it in the news. And every one of us has to be a minister or witness to get out there and tell everybody you know, get letters to the editors, call up radio programs, attend this wonderful vigil that's going to take place tomorrow and a walk around the White House and hold up signs saying, we're sick and tired of this. We're not going to take it anymore. Things have to change because we're concerned about our children and our grandchildren. Otherwise, how will we answer when they ask us, what were we doing when the disaster was becoming all too apparent? Thank you.